the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. It's been a while since we've read it. We'll read maybe not the entirety of the chapter, but we'll read starting in verse 1 at least down through our text in verse 18. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also... Let me read that again. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. Brethren, I write unto you no new commandment unto... I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome that wicked one, the wicked one. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, I want you to note that statement. I have underscored the word all. Everything that's in the world, for all that is in the world, and he gives a threefold description. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. You ought to underline that, or at least make a mental note of that. He just listed what is all of the world, but then he said it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. That simply means it is the last hour. It is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We'll skip down, if you will, to verse number 22. We have the word there in that verse as well, Antichrist. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. Chapter 4, verse number 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. I'm going to read one verse for in addition to that, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then 2 John, the second epistle, verse number 8. No, not verse 8. Let's see. Verse number 7, I believe it is. Yeah. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. That is, anybody that comes preaching that false teaching, false doctrine, the Bible shows us very plainly that that person is a deceiver and he is an antichrist. That is, he is an opponent of Christ. He is in opposition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's writing in the second chapter, he's writing about Antichrist in the last times. And he's writing that to believers. He's writing that to us even, as the Word of God is preserved and inspired even to the present moment. And we should be on high alert for the coming of the Lord, because there is so much very evident Antichrist ways and laws being passed and things happening that would definitely fall under the heading of Antichrist. Of course, we know the Antichrist is coming and he will make his appearance on the day that you and I as believers disappear. Jesus Christ will come and call away you and I and his church. 1 Thessalonians 4, very, very clear, very plain on that, that we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that when he said we shall be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then it said that same crowd that's caught up, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So you can't put everybody, you can't put a general resurrection, a general judgment, Jesus is coming, everybody's leaving, in that verse. Jesus said, those I'm coming for, and we know who that is in John 14. John 14 makes it very clear that he's coming for us, amen, we that are saved. But yet we can identify that we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord, because there is so much Antichrist things taking place. But anyway, what we're dealing with in light of 1 John, 1 John deals with believers. It's a believer book. And in fact, the key word in the book is the word know. If you look at the word know, knoweth, known, it's 37 times in five chapters. He's wanting the believers to know something, because what you know gives way to how you live. You can't live what you don't know. That's a good statement. That's why the devil wants people to stay in darkness, mental darkness. They don't want truth. They don't want to be exposed to truth. Amen. The devil don't want that, because Jesus revealed in John 8 that it's the truth that does what? Sets you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But that one verse also said, as I just quoted it, ye shall know the truth. That's got to be first. You got to know the truth, and you can't know the truth till you're exposed to the truth. Whether you've read it in the Bible, or you've heard it preached, or heard a relative or somebody share that with you. But once you know the truth and you receive that truth and apply that truth, then it's able to set you free. It's able to set you free. A lot of people need to be set free today. Amen. A lot of people need to be set free. All of us probably need to be set free from something. If something is controlling you and it's defeating you, it is not of God, period. Amen. If you've got a thought line in your mind, a thought process in your mind, I want to tell you, and it's killing you spiritually, God is not in a million miles of it. So deal with it. Be set free from those things. And a great part of being set free from those things is recognizing first that whatever it is not of God. You'll keep it in your life if you think this is of God. Amen. Anyway, but here's where we've looked at. We've looked at this, and I'm not going. The point I'm going to jump on or get on this morning, I'm not going to be able to finish. I didn't know that. It's too big. But I wanted, we've dealt with in verse number one, and I'm not going to go back just other than to share the points with you to remind you, because it's been a while since we've been in 1 John 2. What we're preaching about is how to live for Christ in Antichrist days. I need to know that. I want to know that. Do you want to know that this morning? Do you want to know that? Preacher, I know we're in Antichrist days. I didn't have nothing to do with that. That's just a part of prophecy. But how I'm to live in Antichrist days, I am interested in that. And God doesn't turn Christianity off when the world is getting turned on. When the world is falling apart, Christianity and the Bible doesn't go down the tubes. Amen. God never says to anybody, well, you know, it's hard times. Don't worry about my commandments anymore. You know, don't worry about praying and living right and going to church and hating sin. And don't worry about that. You know, I understand it's hard times and we'll excuse you at the judgment seat. No, Christianity is intact. Christianity is still intact. You know how I know that? And I know this too. Jesus is still saving sinners. Thank God. If he's not interested in Christianity, Brother Henry, why would he still be saving people? That's right. If you're here today and you're lost, I want to tell you something. That I know why you're still lost. The spirit of Antichrist is what's it behind the scenes on that. And we're going to deal with that maybe a little bit later this morning. I think that may be where I'll end up is on that particular thought. But we looked at in chapter 2, verse 1, we've already covered how that if I'm going to live for Christ in Antichrist days, I got to be saved. You can't live a life you don't have. I've got to be saved. And he addresses that in verse 1 and several other times in chapter number 2. He as my little children. He wasn't talking about biological children. He was talking about children that had been won to Christ. Amen. Same way Paul referred to Timothy as my son, Timothy. He wasn't his son, but he was his spiritual daddy, so to speak. So we dealt with that. You got to be saved if you're going to live for Jesus. I don't know how many people turn salvation down and turn it away because they say, preach, I can't live. I can't live it. Well, how true that is. That's very true. You can't live a life that you don't have. And what they don't know and what they don't understand, I try to help them with, is that when you get saved, the spirit of life comes in. The spirit of Christ comes in. The nature of Christ comes in. Everything you need to live for Christ comes in when you get saved. Just like with my physical birth, everything I needed to live a human life came in with my physical birth. Amen. Everything. Amen. Everything is in the beginning. Everything's in the beginning. Genesis is the seedbed of all truth. All doctrine is the seedbed. You take a giant oak tree. Everything that oak tree ever would be or ever will be or is was in that little acorn. Everything, as little as it is, the genetics, the size, the leaves, the bark, how tall, everything was in that acorn. Amen. And so when you get saved by the grace of God, that incorruptible seed was put inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. That enables you to live for the Lord. Amen. So if you know somebody that say, well, I'm not going to get saved because I can't live it. No, the problem is you don't want to get saved because you're afraid of that life you will live. Can I say another word on that? You like the life you're living now. And I will say this, one statement, because I'm done feel myself getting on it. I want to deal with it at the end this morning if I can get there. The more of this world you have, the more of this world you like, the harder it'll be for you to get saved. There ain't no doubt about that. And you can just keep that thought in mind. We'll deal with that, hopefully, and elaborate on that a little bit more in a little bit. So, if you're going to live for Christ in Antichrist days first, you got to have a right relationship with salvation. You got to be saved, verse 1. Also, in verse 1, you got to have a right relationship with sanctification. My little children, right unto you that you sin not. Oh, my goodness. That's where most people's at. They struggle with that. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness and a license to be loose. But that's still in the Bible. I didn't say it. John didn't say it. He just wrote it down as the Spirit of God gave it to him. My little children, write I unto you that you sin not. That's God's goal for our life. You say, but preacher, I can't be perfect. God knows that. But we ought to be striving in that direction. Amen. If you're going to sin, can you sin less? I want to ask you, can you sin less than what yesterday or this week? Can you sin less than you did this past week? Why, certainly. Well, then why not? I never have asked that question before. Then why don't we do that? I've heard people say, well, you know, preacher, we sin more or less every day. Most people that say that sin more every day. They're not interested in sinning less every day. They're interested more every day. But anyway, there's got to be a right relationship of sanctification, because just simply a statement is that sanctification has to do with us being set apart for God's purpose and God's use and God's glory. Right? So sanctification has to do with holiness and purity. And it does matter how we live. So if I'm not interested in sanctification, then the spirit of Antichrist is influencing me. If I'm interested in being loose, guess who's influencing me? It's not the Spirit of God, it's the spirit of Antichrist that's against everything Christ is for. So there's the salvation, sanctification. Need to be right with the servant of God, because John's the one that's writing this. My little children, write unto you. Amen. It pays to be right with the preacher. It pays to be right with whoever is your spiritual leader. Also, we covered this as well, that we need to be right with the saints. We need to be right with the saints of God, loving one another, loving the brethren, and all of that. I told a church I was in Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I told them, I said, look, little small church, they don't run even on Sunday morning, maybe 30 people. I tell you, that's my realm. Put me in a little small church and let me preach to their faith. Let me tell them that it's not their size that matters. It's their faith size, and it's their spirituality size. That's what matters, and their God size. And I told them, I said, don't ever lose that family spirit you got. Close, real close, family, unity. You could tell they just loved each other. Not loved the one or two they sat with, but they loved everybody. I said, I took probably 5 or 10 minutes on Friday night to admonish them, don't lose that. Guard that. Amen. God's people ought to be like that. Sad, but most churches are not like that. They're divided up, and ours is not near where we need to be on that. Amen. So we need to be right with the saints. We also need to be right concerning what we deal with. Well, that's where we got to. So we're going to deal with the next one, separation. Just swallow real good. It'll go down in a minute. You mention that term, people like they start cringing in the pew as if you're fixing to throw some kind of hot sauce on them or something. But it's biblical. Even the description given in Hebrews 7 of the Lord Jesus Christ, holy, harmless, and separate from sinners. That's what Jesus, this description of Jesus. God says we're to be separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Amen. So where do you get that? We're going to look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, love not the world. I think that's pretty plain. I don't think he's stuttering there. I don't think there's a need of trying to interpret that. I think it's pretty plain. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Listen to this. If you want one reason to not be worldly as a Christian, right here it is. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Everything that's in this life that most people are living for, can't live without, all of that's going to pass away one day. All of it's going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God, that's why that's a statement that should cause you to want to live for God. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we're talking about now that we need a right relationship with separation from this world. Separation. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're in it, but not of it. I wrote a note. I found it this morning. I wrote a note whenever it was, a long time ago, several years ago. I wrote a note that the place that Jesus is working is between you and the world. That's the spot where Jesus is working. And if that, I don't even remember now the details behind why I wrote that down, but if that's the case, that Jesus is in between, that's the spot that Brother Rob, he wants to work, is between me and the world, then that tells me what separation really is. It's Christ between me and the world. Where's Christ at? If you put Christ in you, between you and the world, then it's Christ that's separating you. Amen, which is really the truth. But I thought about this, that this is very interesting. The previous verses, prior to verse 15, the verses were dealing with loving your brother and all of those verses that we've already covered. He's dealing with how we are to love one another. But then he comes down to verse 15 and he says, love not the world. You know what he's teaching us right there? It's teaching us that if we don't love those that we are supposed to love, then we'll probably end up loving what we are not supposed to love, and that's the world. Amen. If you're loving what you're not supposed to love, and the Bible's plain about a lot of that, if you're loving what you're not supposed to love, it probably can go back to what you're not loving, what you should be loving, and who you should be loving. Amen. If we don't love the brethren, the family of God, then we don't love God. How can you love your brother whom you have seen when you don't love God whom you have not seen? So really, both loves are at stake. But I thought about this. You know, a lot of people says, we don't need none of that negative preaching. Well, look at the second word in verse 15. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Love not. How much plainer can that get? Amen. Spirituality will never kill a church, but carnality will. Amen. If there's ever a time that you need to be making a move to detach yourself from as much of this world as possible, it's now. It's now. Amen. People that have the world attached to their life in a lot of ways, they're the ones that's struggling the most during all this quarantine junk and all these shutdown junk, all that stuff. Amen. The more you're hooked to this world, the more you're going to struggle as a Christian. If you could just write that one statement right there I just made down, that will help you in your walk with God. Amen. The more attached to this world you are, you're going to struggle as a Christian. Love not the world. Keep in mind where the context is at. How many knows what book it's in? I'm glad we finally got an answer on that. How difficult was that question? Are y'all listening to me this morning? Good night. Have mercy. That was a simple question. What book was this, is the context of love not the world in? 1 John. Wow, we're doing better. We're gaining a little ground. Getting some of that stuff up there between the ears churning up a little bit. Who's he writing to? Who's he writing to in 1 John? Wow, he's writing to believers, love not the world. Why would he do that? Because believers can. Believers can get caught up in loving this world. And that is behind every dead church, every church that does not have the power of God in it, every church that's declining. It is because of friendliness and fondness of this world. Amen. That's exactly right. The big booming churches are churches that are very worldly. Very worldly. Their music, I've listened to it. I've not in their presence, I haven't, but I've listened to it like online and stuff, just curious. And that's the same stuff that I used to drink Miller Lowlife to. That's the same identical beat and everything that I used to go to and get on the dance floor with. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you believe that salvation don't change your life and does not change your heart and change your desires, I don't know what you've got. I just know that I went from being hardcore. That's a good word to put it. That I went from being hardcore toward everything the world had, everything the world could give, everything that I could do to get further and deeper into this world. I went from that to absolutely God just cut it off, and the only thing that happened was that I got saved. Amen. Amen. Salvation that don't change you, don't trust it to take you heaven. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 gets referred to around here a lot, and rightfully so. It's still in the Bible. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. Amen. And when I got saved, Brother Jeremiah, when I got saved, I'm telling you, I didn't hear no preaching on long hair. I didn't hear, and I had that when I got saved. I didn't hear no preaching on some habits I had when I got saved. I didn't hear no preaching on music when I got saved. But you know what? Immediately God started dealing with me about looking like a Christian. I hadn't even heard no preaching on it. Amen. God started dealing with me about all that hellish music that was in my truck. God started that. Amen. Separation's God's idea. You can go back in Genesis, and God separated the light from the darkness, the land from the sea. God separated the seeds, S-E-E-D-S, seeds. He separated all, he had all, it's his idea. But I've never had any more problems, I don't reckon, in the ministry, my personal ministry, than when I preach about separation, biblical separation. People get mad, they get upset, they'll leave the church, they'll fuss at you and everything else. When I'm not trying to hurt anybody, I'm trying to help you. The worst friend you got is this world. The most detrimental thing that can be in your life spiritually besides the flesh is the world. And if that's the case and that's in the Bible, and oh my goodness, is it not in the Bible, then why is it that it's so silent in churches today? Why is it that preachers hardly ever preach on it? I'll tell you why. They're not practicing it themselves. You think a preacher's going to preach against something he himself is doing? Or his wife's doing, or he's letting his children do. Amen. To find a man of God in our day that'll preach against worldliness and carnality from a biblical perspective, they're as scarce as hen's teeth. You can't find them. Amen. That one subject right there has caused me more hurt and more damage, more sleepless nights than anything that I ever preached. And why is that? It don't come from sinners. I've never had a lost man come up and bless me out after I got done preaching about separation. No, it's professing church members, professing Christians. Yeah. They try to weasel their way out and try to argue with me as if, well, preacher, you know, it's not a sin. What I'm doing is a sin. One told me one time after I'd preached here and fussed me out at the door back there and said, I don't have to quit that to go to, I don't have to quit that to be right with God. I said, you might not have before you said that. But now that you've made it an issue, you will have to deal with that before you get right with God. And the very thing that was all up in the air about was instrumental in taking her life. Are y'all listening? Amen. Amen. It's amazing, isn't it? Go to the doctor, you want him to point out what's wrong with you. But no, not a preacher. No, we don't want no preacher to be true with God's word and preach, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen, that's right. I know we're in perilous days, and I'm not going to get out in left field right here. I know we're in perilous days, but I just want to reassure everybody in case there's any question. Them little signs that was hung up in Pastor Appreciation Day, not for sale, that's more than a sign, friend. I don't have to have a sign up in my hand letting everybody know I'm not for sale. My life says I'm not for sale. My preaching says I'm not for sale. Amen. And when I can't preach the truth, here, the thus saith the Lord, the truth as it's in the Bible, then my departure will be at hand, friend. I am not a hireling. I am not for sale, and I am not for hire. Amen, that's right. I don't know of a problem. I just thought I felt like I would throw that out there just to make sure we don't have one. That's right. The more preachers that I started out with, Brother Scott, I mean, they're falling left and right. I mean, falling, brother, it grieves me, hurts to see that happening and to see them compromise it. Oh, my goodness, because their churches is in a wreck and a mess and they're trying to cater to the people and please the people and they can't sleep at night. God help us. And the more I hear of that, every time I hear of that, I'm telling you, it hurts, but I'll tell you what it makes me do. It makes me tighten down that much more. That makes me more determined. I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to continue to preach the truth. Not everybody likes it. Not everybody wants it. But I'm going to tell you, as long as there's a preacher preaching it, God will make sure there's some sheep hearing it. Amen. If God has to send them in here from, amen, Paducah, Kansas, or Timbuktu, Arkansas, I don't know. If God has to send them in here, there'll be a population in here that'll carry on the work of God as long as they're a preacher preaching the truth. Amen. Son, I felt something right there. Amen. Hallelujah. But he went straight. And used to, you know, I'd preach like that here. Yeah, here. RBT. Maybe eight people. Amen. Amen. Preacher. Amen. Amen. The quietest services we'll have is when I get on separation. When I get to deal with separation, oh, unto God, here we go, all this knot stuff, don't do this and don't do that. Separation ain't about knot. That's only half of it. Amen. The church at Thessalonica, Paul dealt with them and commended them that when he came in preaching the gospel, they got saved. And here's what he said, you turn from idols unto God. There's your two sides of separation. You separate from that which is idle, those that is sinful, that which is of the flesh, that which is of the world, and you don't leave that space empty. You turn and fill that space with God. Amen. Amen, Lord. Help us. Amen, that's right. Thank God. But he went from, John did, in 1 John 2, he went from dealing with the right kind of love, loving the brethren, and dealt with that in detail. But then he come down and he start dealing with the wrong kind. You know you can love the wrong thing. You know you can love sin. Alcoholic, I promise you, loves alcohol. The dope addict, they love dope. Amen. A person that's a sex offender, a person that's a pedophile, as perverted and demon-possessed as that is, I want to tell you, they love that. Amen. Wicked and ungodly, they love it. You know what? Amen. I'm just going to mind the Lord. You know why that I know, another reason I know that Lot was saved? Lot was saved, the one that chose to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm not seeing this among present day Christianity much at all. A lot of people say Lot was a lost man. Well, Peter called him just Lot. But Peter didn't just call him just Lot. He said he vexed his righteous soul. Where is that vexation at? I'd like to know that. That's been a question on my mind for a long, long time, and I've still don't have an answer. Where is that vexation at? Where is the vexation of soul and of spirit by the wicked conversation of the wicked around us? Amen. Of this world. This whole world ought to be vexing us on the inside. Amen. There ought to be a vexation. No, there's not a vexation in most churches. There's not a vexation in most preachers even. Amen. About the world, because they're so involved in it. They get vexed if they can't have it or if they can't do it. Amen. Back when we was in this quarantine stuff, back last year, was you more bothered that you couldn't go out and eat, or was you more bothered that you was hindered to going to church? Amen. Amen. We're on live stream and I don't care. But I can tell you one thing, Biden and all of his horses can start that bunch of junk again. RBT will be in full-blown rebellion against it. And you don't have to come and be a part of that, but Preacher Rackley will be in the pulpit with the doors open, preaching the Word of God. Say amen right there. Some of y'all didn't like that. Love not the world be a good quote right there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's right. Some of you look a little wormy this morning. I don't know what you didn't eat your Wheaties or something this morning. I want to say it again. Those that have a love problem with the brethren, verse 9, 10, and 11, will also have a love problem with the world. That's right. Let's read some verses. I already read verse 15 through 17. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. We're just going to read some verses in 1 John. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Look at this. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Wait, that's in the same verse where it called us sons of God. We've been saved by the grace of God. We're in the family of God. But then it says the world knoweth us not. John 15 or 16, it said the world will love its own. The world will love its own. Amen. Look at verse 13, same chapter. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. If you're in that category of brethren or the family of God, don't marvel. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked at them, the world, treating you with hatred as if it's an expected thing. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. I believe that's right. Let me make sure here. Yeah, chapter 4, verse number 3. We're going to read it whether I've got it wrote down wrong or not. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come even now, already is in the world. I'm reading verses out of 1 John that has to do with the world. You're of God, verse 4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you, listen, than he that is in the world. I should be living above the world. Not that I'm better than, not that mentality, but I should be living above the world. Why? Because greater is he that's in me. He that's in me, the spirit that's in me, is greater than he that's in the world. Isn't it amazing? We claim to be saved by the power of God. We claim to be saved by the Spirit of God. But then we live on the same level as those that are being controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. That don't make sense. That don't make a lick of sense to me. If we're controlled by the Spirit of God, surely to goodness we ought to be on a different level of life, a different, amen. Something. There ought to be some difference. Amen. All right, let's read on. Look at verse number 5, chapter 4, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Whoa. And the world heareth them. Brother Henry, did you hear that? Have you heard that? You know what the Bible said right there? They that are of the world, we're told not to be, but they that are of the world, look what it said in their identification. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. Isn't it amazing that your conversation can reveal if you're of the world or not? Because if you're of the world, you're going to talk it. It's amazing how people are so bashful they can't talk about Jesus, amen, and things like that. But they can talk about all the everything else in the world, everything else, their favorite team. God said if it's like that, you speak of the world and the world hears you, they've got a listening ear to what you say because you've got a speaking mouth about what they're wanting to hear. Guess what? He said you're not of God, you're of the world. Whoa, that's good, ain't it? Let's read on. We're back. Let's read on. And of course, then it changes. We are of God. Verse 6, we are of God. It just got through talking about they that are of the world. They that are of the world identified that. But then verse 6, we are of God. We are a different group from they. We are different from they. Just right there in that those two terms, we and they, shows two different groups. You say, preacher, what's this got to do with anything? We're in discouraging days. You remember what I said when I first came to the pulpit earlier? Hard times will either drive you to God or to drive you to the world. And a lot of people are being driven to the world. And that, friend, does not make no sense. Because the world is identified as an enemy of God. Why would I want to get all out of, been out of shape, get out of church, get out of the will of God, and go toward the world? And what are you planning on doing? Joining forces with God's enemies? Is that what you're planning? No, I'm not. Well, Lord help us. Let's read on. Let's read on. We want to read on. Look in chapter, that same chapter, verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. God sent forth His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. He come here to give us a different life. He come here to give us a different life. Instead of living the world life, which is the Adam life, the human life, He come into this world to give us life, His life. That's a different life. All right, let's look at chapter 5 real quick. No, we got to read one more. We got to read more. Look at verse 14 in that chapter. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So if I identify with the world, and they're the ones that God said they need to be saved, and that's where I once was before I got saved. Right? Then what kind of image am I projecting? He's come to be the Savior of the world. And that's not talking about this dust ball. It's talking about people. Chapter 5. I'm getting bogged down here. Chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God participates and owns and practices and loves and lives in and lives for the world. No, King James Bible don't say that. The Bible said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are y'all listening? How hard is that? Brother Aaron, am I missing something here? How hard is that? My goodness, how hard is that? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That is, you're not under the world's influence anymore. You're not defeated by the world anymore. You're not driven by the world anymore. But rather you have overcome. I like that word, over. Didn't say undercome, which is not a word, which should not be a reality in any of our lives, that we are living less than what the world's living. I'd hate to know the world's got greater joy than me. I'd hate to know, Brother Craddock, the world is more jolly than I am, or that we are as believers. I think that would be a shame to us. If I'm going to live a Christ-like life in Antichrist days, I've got to have my right relationship with this world. I can't be wrong with this world or involved. I cannot be under the control and the influence of this world and live the Christ life. I just can't. This world's governed by the Antichrist spirit, and the more worldly I am, the more that spirit is influencing me. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What has a greater control in your life? Your faith or the world? Which is more evident? If nobody don't ask you a word, don't ask you nothing, all they do is just watch you, if they had a way of doing that, and just watch the way you live and listen to you talk for 7 days, consecutive 7 days, would your life demonstrate that the world is in control of me, the world is influencing me, or would my faith? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know what our problem, you know what's behind worldliness? A lack of faith, a lack of real faith. When real, how many of us know? Lord help us, I'm getting hung up right here. Hebrews 11 shows us, among many other scripture, that faith is active. By faith Noah, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham. And right on down the whole list, and it said by faith, because it said what they did in life came from their faith, because of their faith. What is your faith causing you to do? What is your faith stirring you up to do? Amen, that's right. Oh, that's good preaching right there. Not that I'm preaching good doing it, but I'm telling you, that's truth that'll help you. That's truth right there that'll help you, amen. Is your faith stronger than the world's influence on you? Faith is God's influence on you. Faith is God's influence on you. Amen. Worldliness and carnality and such as that, and many other things can be added to that list. That's the world's influence on you. I've never been defeated because of God's influence on me. Amen. I hope we get it this morning. I hope we get it. I know people's got a hatred toward that subject, and I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about so-called church people. They can't stand the preaching and truth of sanctification and separation. Because when you say it, they automatically go to about one or two items. Oh, yeah, bless God, we got to be separate. Here comes that separation. I could see it in the pews. Oh, yeah, here comes that separational stuff. Brother Ackley, he's fixing to ride that hobby horse a little bit. And for sure, he's going to get on modesty and music. That's going to be it. If that's your concept of separation, you're a million miles out of the Bible on it. Amen. If you want to go to the heart of the subject, here it is. Let's go to the heart. The heart of separation is the heart. Amen. Amen. People that try to separate outwardly but don't separate inwardly, their heart is not there. Their heart's not in it. They try to separate outwardly. Watch it. They'll look for a reason to falter. I've seen them. I've been here 28 and a half years. I've seen them. I've seen them line up, straighten up, dress up, and everything else up. And then when they get mad at me or whatever and they leave our church, first thing they do, they go right back to everything that they supposedly had left and done away with. You know what that is? I'll tell you what that is. That's walking the dog. That's trying to fit in to whoever you're around, but it's not in your heart. God looks at the heart. Amen. If you dress right, it ought to be coming from the heart. If it's not from the heart, then you'll change the first chance you get. Amen. Amen. I don't have a law over me and handcuffs on me, Brother Scott, that keeps me going back to those gyp joints I used to go to. Amen. You know why I don't go back there? It is not in my heart to go back there. Amen. You tell me Jesus is in your heart. If he's in your heart, then why don't he have a greater influence over what you desire and what you long for? And amen, covers all the bases. It covers all the bases. I don't talk a certain way. Amen. Why? I used to have a filthy mouth. And nothing happened, Brother Preston, except I got saved. That's it. Prior to that night, it was a shame how my mouth was, my filthy mouth. I mean, it was awful. But I thought, man, that's it. I'm popular. You know, I can watch your mouth. I can listen to your mouth and tell what direction you're going in. That's right. Yeah, that's right. But I got saved that night. And that's been 28 and a half years. No, I've been here 28 and a half years. That didn't sound right. That's been 40 years. January 20th was 40 years. I thought, surely to goodness I've been saved longer than 28. And to this day, to God be the glory, to this day, never not a one has ever even slipped out or even was coming up and I caught it. No, it's not in there. And I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about you, what you do, none of that. I'm just saying that happened to me. It covers all the bases. Amen. It covers all the bases. How you think, it covers all the bases. Amen. It don't matter. You can be holding a position in a church, preacher, anything else, and be wicked as a devil in your mind. Oh, yeah. When we're talking about separation, friend, we're not talking about one or two items, one or two subjects. We're talking about across the board, period. Everything in your life. If the world's for it, there ought to be an element in you. I'm against it. I'm against it. If the world's promoting it, I'm against it. And listen, I heard Brother Buster Mullins. I was listening to him on a CD, and he was telling, Brother, listen, he talked about the more you feed your children the world, the more you push them out into the world, the more difficult they'll ever get saved, the more unlikely they'll ever get saved, because every time God pricks their heart and deals with them about being saved, the first thing that rises up in opposition against God wanting to save them is that if I get saved, I won't be able to do this, and I won't be able to do that, and I won't be able to go there, and I'll lose this friend. What is that? That's the love of this world that's keeping people lost without God. Everywhere I go, I have parents, grandparents come to me. Preacher, pray for my children, pray for my daughter, pray for my son, pray for my grandson, granddaughter, whatever. I said, what's going on? Well, they used to be in church. They ain't in church now. They're not in church now. But you can't expect them to stay in church if you have a IV of the world going in them. Let them listen to whatever music they want to listen to. Let them hang around to whatever friends they want to hang around. You expect them to have a heart for God when all of their friends does not have a heart for God? Can you expect them to just want to get in and go with God when about everything they put their hands on, their eyes on, their ears on through the course of a day has almost nothing to do with God? Amen. And it bothers me. It's been bothering me. It bothers me still yet for children to come up in our Sunday school classes and sit in our youth group. And then when they get 13, 14, 15, they get a cell phone when they're 6.5 years old. You tell me what a little old toddler needs a cell phone for. You know what that's doing? Get them hooked on the world quick. When their heart's tender. Their heart's tender and God can reach them earlier in life. But just let them get hooked on the world. And I'm going to tell you, they can get mesmerized by the digital world. Let them sit and watch TV for hours on end because they're not bothering you and they're not under your feet. And, you know, let the TV babysit them and see what kind of a heart they'll have or what kind of ear they'll have for God when they get to be teenagers. Oh, yeah. And there are no preachers hardly that I know of that's preaching against it. And the first people usually that gets mad is the parents. Amen. Amen, boy. I'm telling you, it's in me. But if every parent in here gets mad, I'm going to preach to your children. I'm still going to preach it's wrong. I'll never preach that the world's your friend. We're going to deal with it at another point, not today. But the world, we should abstain from the world. We should separate ourselves from the world. If no other reason, Brother Kyle, how they treated the Lord Jesus Christ. The attitude the world had toward my Savior. You think I'm going to buddy up and pile up with somebody or a system, amen, that literally would crucify Jesus today if they could get another chance? Never. Never. Amen. Well, we're having a good time this morning. They said, preacher, you might be. We ain't having too good a time. This sort of help you. This sort of call, scotch up what you believe. And if you're not, and if you're not there, or if you, or if you've slipped, listen. You know, if you come here, you know I don't preach this hardly ever. Just when God brings me around to it. It ain't like I ride this hobby horse every time I get in a pulpit and bust something every time I get in a pulpit. But we've been dealing with this series for weeks and weeks and weeks, off and on, and we're just now getting to it. Amen. Amen. Amen, Lord, help me. That watchman on the wall. Lord, help me to be that. Son, when I see the enemy coming, and I do view this world as an enemy, it's everything the church is supposed to be for, the world's against, and we're seeing it starting to creep over even into the legal realm to where there's laws going to be made against us, and there's going to be laws that's going to be put against us. Make placed against us. Amen. Freedom of speech and censorship. Listen, it's evident everywhere you look. That wicked crowd, the BLM crowd, are they being censored? No. Are y'all listening? That Antifa crowd, you think they're being censored? No. You think they're being targeted? Absolutely not. They're getting paid. That burns me up, I'll tell you. But that's coming against the church. Who is it? Who is it coming against the church? The world. You know why? Because this world is governed by the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience in Ephesians chapter number 2. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 calls the devil the god of this world, friend. The god of this world. The more worldly you go, the more toward the world you go, the more under the influence that the devil, the prince and power of the air, the god of this world can have over your life. Amen. You say, preacher, we need encouragement. No, we need to get right with God. Discouragement is usually an evidence that I'm looking at the wrong thing, thinking the wrong thoughts, allowing my heart to get wrong. Usually if I'm discouraged, it's because I'm wrong. I don't know, Brother Aaron, I don't know that I've ever been discouraged when I was right with God. I don't know if I've ever been discouraged when I was right with God. Have you, Brother Henry? You've been, Miss Vicki, y'all been saved longer than I have? I know you've been discouraged. Have you been discouraged? But not when you've been right with God? It's amazing, isn't it? I might as well deal with it while I'm on it. Isn't it amazing how that people, and I've seen them here, we've all seen them here, their spiritual life noticeably starts declining. They start losing ground spiritually. And all of a sudden, after they go from being up here where they was kind of close to the Lord, walking with the Lord, and they get way down here, way out here somewhere, all of a sudden now, they got leadership that they need to be going somewhere else. Isn't that amazing? Why didn't God tell you when you was up here? Why didn't God tell you that when you was up here? No, you waited to get down here. And almost 100%, if not 100% of the time, when they depart in that scenario, they don't go looking for a church that's up higher, tighter, stronger, straighter. They go down. They go find a church that don't ever preach against nothing. And watch their life. Watch their life. Watch their family. It's very noticeable. The world is creeping in. Amen. If you don't have a heart for the Lord, and I'm talking to saved people. I'm not talking about talking to lost people. I never preach separation from the world to lost people. I want that to be on tape. I want that to go out over the air. I've been accused of everything in the book. I never preach that sinners need to quit drinking and need to quit smoking dope and pot and quit fornicating and everything else to get saved. You'll never hear me say that because that's works. Lost people come in here, I don't care how they're dressed. Lost people come in here, I don't care. Listen, I'm going to love them, and shame on anybody that won't go and speak to them and shake their hand and let them know you're glad they're here. Amen. They did at least come out from the world and come into one of our services. You ought to make sure that they're welcome. Amen. That's right. We're just hitting a little everything this morning. Amen, Lord. I don't even know if we got through reading. We never did get through reading our scripture, did we? Could y'all say I did or didn't? I heard somebody say, I hope he is. No, I'm just kidding. Watch this right here and we'll be done. I'm not through, but I'm just going to unhook. I think we read chapter 5, verse 4. That's where we got. The Spirit of God got me hung up on that. The influence of the world versus our faith, which has a greater. Look at next verse. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Can you see what worldliness will do right there? It'll cloud you up even what you believe about the Son of God. Verse 19 of chapter 5. And we know that we are of God. That means we know that we're saved and that we are of God. And the whole world, look at this statement, the whole world. Brother Chuck, did it say part of the world? What does it say? The whole world. Does that mean the whole world, Sister June? Whole world, no, nothing excluded. The whole world lieth in wickedness. If you don't have no other verse of Scripture, if you don't have no other verse whatsoever to understand why Preacher Rackley is preaching what I am this morning on separation, we've got to have a right relationship with the biblical truth of separation if we're going to live a Christ life in Antichrist days. That verse right there, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And I studied that one time, may have even preached it here years ago. That statement there, Brother Jeter, lieth in wickedness, means the whole world lieth in the lap of the wicked one. God help us. Lord help us. Hard time promotes worldliness. Listen to A.W. Tozer. Any doctrine that makes the world your friend is not of God. Listen to this statement, Lord, give me. In order to follow Jesus, you will have to unfollow the world. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in the world. As he is. That's a three-word description that should define us. As he is. As he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. As he lives, so should we. As he does, so should we. Amen. As he is. He's the pattern. He's the example. As he is, so are we. Where and when? In this world.